individuals. Their respect and honor that is given can many times be spoken of just in the very simple words that the Bible speaks about obedience. First passage of Scripture that we're going to look at this morning here in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 in a very simple manner just gives this instruction. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. God has placed us under authority in many different areas in our lives, and probably the very first is within the home, children being under the authority of their parents. And God has a chain of command through all of His society. Well, most people rebel against their position in God's chain of command. God has placed everyone under authority. There's God over the political governments, God over the church, the governments, and even God's word, God's instruction, given over the home also, inside the homes. The father is to be over the mother, who is over the children. And children to subject themselves to that order and the position that is there. God's word directly commands then children to be under that authority. And even though children may think their parents just to be crackpots or old fogies, they and think that they don't know what's best for them. You know what? They're not smarter than what God is. And God set things up for a reason. And more reason than just because God said so. A lot of practical reason and good in the manner that God puts forth when He tells children, or when the Bible addresses children and says that they're to obey their parents. That simple instruction is repeated at other places in the New Testament as well as the Old. If you look with me also in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 and verse 2, we find the very same thing at the beginning of this verse as what we just looked at there in the book of Colossians. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And then in verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, God had given instruction to the children, not only in the New Testament, but if you look with me in the book of Proverbs, chapter 23. Proverbs 23 in verse 22. Here we read, hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. Even in older age, and after children move out of the home, they should still honor and give the respect to mother and father that God has designed. Now, we're going to talk about some of the other authority and some of that other chain of command also that the Scripture brings out. Turn with me to the book of Romans, chapter 13. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, here the Bible says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Every individual, you may not be at home any longer, you may not be under your mother and father's authority and their structure and within the realm of their rules and authority as we might think of immediately and on a day-to-day basis. But you know what? Every individual is under authority of a higher power. And God has set that up and tells us in His Word that we are to respect and honor and to submit to that. But especially, and as I made mention of in the very first place the Bible speaks of, even though that passage of Scripture speaks mainly of political government, it includes parents. We're going to go back to the book of Proverbs again. A couple of other passages there real quickly. Proverbs chapter 15. Proverbs the 15th chapter and verse 5. Here this passage of Scripture says that a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent, or is wise, being contrasted with the fool that is spoken of in the beginning of this statement right here. A lot of times things don't seem to go well at home, and sometimes that is the fault of the parents in neglect or in not putting forth the example. And the Bible warns and tells parents that they're not to provoke their children to wrath. And many times that happens because of a lack of consideration and the natural tendency even of love and sometimes of discipline. But even without that, the Bible speaks and tells children that they are to be obedient to. We've read there in the New Testament, in all things, and then in the other statement, in the Lord, because that is God's will and God's design. And children who find the patterns of the modern world that we live in, that they can despise, that they can disregard and rebel against mom and dad and against the rules that they set up, are doing much harm to themselves. In the very first place where that will happen, because of the disobedience and the disregard that they are giving to the rules and to the instructions that God's Word gives to them also. In the 30th chapter of the book of Proverbs, if you look there with me, Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 17, here the scripture says, "The eye that mocketh his father, or that despiseth to obey his mother, the ravens of the valley shall pick it out." Now, these are some of the negative statements that go along with the positive that we look at. Maybe we'll consider and come back to those this morning. That we're much more prone to look at the commandment with promise. I didn't read all the way through there in the book of Ephesians. That promise of long life for those that obey, but for those that do not. These are some of the curses that God states going along with that. Let's read all of this verse. "The eye that mocketh his father despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out. Young eagles shall eat it." That may not happen immediately into every individual and in the societies that we live in today, in the concrete jungles that we live in. People won't have the contact with the ravens. But you know what? The long life that the Bible speaks of in a positive manner, you know what? They find themselves in much danger when they disregard mother and father also. And the disregard and disrespect spills over, as we'll talk about just a little bit this morning, into other areas of their life. Children, if you don't learn how to submit to mother and father's authority, you're going to have problems with other places of authority, and you're going to have problems all your life. That is why the foundation and the instruction that God gives, especially those things that are addressed to children, become so important. Let's go earlier in the book of Proverbs, chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 through verse 23. God's word tells us, "My son, keep thy father's commandment, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon thine heart, and tie them about thy neck. When thou goest, it shall lead thee, and when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee, and when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Now, especially in the book of Psalms, those things in the last verse that we just looked at right here are all attributed to the Word of God and to the wisdom of God and to God's leadership. As we've already heard this morning presented to us, we as parents have the responsibility of, in the authority that God has given in the home, teaching our children to obey and to follow us, to respect and to honor us, because that's how adults are to do to God. Let me suggest to you why so many in our society today have no good use for the Bible or for God or for the righteousness of God or for God's precepts in our life, is because our society really has no respect and no honor for obeying and keeping the respect for parents as they had ought to. God has established that in the very beginning, though, in an unalterable way. You know what? It's just one of those principles of life that isn't just applicable to the nation of Israel. It's not just applicable to the church. It's one of those things that God has given for everybody. These commands from the very basic instructions that the Word of God provides for us. Three basic purposes for the authority of parents over the children, and that is that to begin with that God has designed it that way to cause the children to grow in wisdom, in character. As the preceding passages show, the commandments and the laws of parents strengthen and fortify the children as they're growing to be able to meet the adversaries and the problems of life whenever they come. In the second chapter of the book of Luke, probably the classic and highest example that we can find and look to is that even of Jesus Christ in his young age. The Bible speaks very little about that in content, but what it does speak really gives us volumes of the importance of the example of how he conducted himself. In the second chapter of the book of Luke, look with me just the last two verses, verse 51 and verse 52. The Bible tells us that he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Now, a decade or so back, and for the decade preceding that, the popular cliche, even among Christianity, is what would Jesus do? Children, I can tell you what Jesus did in the home. He subjected himself and was obedient and respectful to mother and father. And because of that, he found the increase in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and with man. You want God's favor upon your life? You want the favor of great benefits and success in other areas of your life? Submit yourselves to your parents. In these two verses right here, so much of the philosophy and of the instruction for parenting and for child rearing, if the book of Proverbs wasn't enough, we have God coming in human flesh and submitting himself. Not only learning obedience, as the book of Hebrews says, by subjecting himself to the cross and to all the cruelty and to all the hurt and to all that went along with that sacrifice, but subjecting himself in obedience and in honor to Mary and Joseph. In the simple things of life, the mundane things in life. You remember even Jesus rebuked his own generation, those Jews, that last generation before the temple was done. And one of what was put out of order and out of business by God through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But if you remember, one of the things that he directed toward that generation was that even the priests were fairly guilty of. People of that day made it almost a common tradition that if they would dedicate themselves or their finances to the temple, that they could get out of the responsibility that they had toward their parents. You know what? God wasn't pleased with that at all. You know what? The first responsibility that we should have, and fathers and mothers, is your children. I know the common thing, and even with the political world that we have today, many of you will recognize this, but I want to let you know, it doesn't take a village to raise a child. You know what it takes is a mother and a father. Amen. With attention given to them. You may think, well, that takes away from my providing for them. Fathers, sometimes that's the excuse that we give. No, when you work 8 or 10 hours at home during the day and then come home, your children need your attention also. Right. And you know what? Children, you are to obey them. The Bible even says in all things, not because they earn it, but because they're your parents. That you're to obey and that you're to submit yourselves to them. When individuals have any consideration at all of their desires and their designs and direction in life that they want to go into, many times they leave out their parents altogether and submitting to them. But let me suggest to you a second reason why the authority for parents, the authority of the parents by God, is that it's designed to give protection from all the destructive temptations and from all the destructive elements that are in this world for their children. Let's go back in the Old Testament once again to the book of Genesis, the 43rd chapter. Several places in the Bible, references made to the concern, the care, the protection of the parents, other elders, especially within the family, provided to give the concern and protection for those that are under their authority. And in the book of Genesis, chapter 43 and verse 8, Judah said unto Israel, his father, send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, but we and thou, and also our little ones. Here, as they were going back to Egypt, Joseph had made mention, if you remember, well, I'm not going to give you anything else unless Benjamin, the youngest brother, comes with me. Well, the father loved him so much, he sought protection from him so much, he wasn't going to let him go. You know what? Judah takes the responsibility of that right here. And the care and the well-being, the protection of him, knowing and realizing just how concerned and how protective their father was over Benjamin. Look with me later in the book of Genesis, chapter 46. Chapter 46 and verse 5, we find Jacob rose up from Beersheba, and the sons of Israel carried Jacob their father and their little ones and wives in their wagons which Pharaoh had sent to carry him when they traveled in everything that they did in Old Testament time. The patriarchs, the examples that are given especially in Genesis and Exodus. You know what? Almost every decision that a father made, there wasn't any of the, well, I need to have my life and I need to do things on my own. You know what? It was for their family, for their the responsibility, the charges, if you will, that God had placed under them. You know what? That's the same role in the same way that God has set it up and made it for us today. Later, as Israel would become a nation, turn with me to the 32nd chapter of the book of Numbers. You see, God's given us parents for our care, and they look out for our well-being. In the book of Numbers, chapter 32, verse 16 and verse 17, we read, and they came near unto him, and they said, we will build sheepfolds here for our cattle and cities for our little ones. We ourselves will go ready armed before the children of Israel until we have brought them into their place. And our little ones shall dwell in the fenced cities because of the inhabitants of the land. As the people of Israel went into the promised land, remember there were 2.5 tribes that stayed on the east side of Jordan. And they left their families there. But you know what? They made sure the protection and the provisions for their families were secured before they went and did that. The attention that parents have, or by God's design, is necessary for them to take care of their children can be seen readily in these examples of Scripture. In the book of Ezra, chapter 8, chapter 8 and verse 21, in that generation of people of Ezra and Nehemiah who went back to Jerusalem to build up again the city of Jerusalem and the temple that had been forsaken and fallen into disrepair. In Ezra 8 and verse 21, then I proclaimed a fast there at the river of Ahava, that we might afflict ourselves before our God and seek of Him a right way for us and for our little ones and for all our substance. Probably one of the places we have this kind of attention given, similar to what's talked about even right here. Fasting, not only asking God's blessing upon themselves as a nation and the workers, but upon the whole households and upon their whole society. You know why? Because the fathers recognized that they were the heads and representatives of, the protectors of, their homes and households. In similar manner, and maybe one of the most recognized places where we see a father carrying out that responsibility, or at least communicating it. Turn with me to the book of Joshua, chapter 24. In Joshua 24 and verse 15, here Joshua, even leading his nation, and this almost the last address, and almost every time, especially in the last couple of years, whenever there's been a state of the nation, this 24th chapter of the book of Joshua comes to my mind. He really addresses and tries to motivate the people in going forth and gives them instruction, very practical, very useful. He wasn't just telling the people what they wanted to hear. But he did tell them this in verse 15, "If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, then choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. Make the choice yourself." He was a leader and he had provided an example. He was leaving it up now to the people, knowing that he wouldn't be around probably even next year this time. But he does go on and tell him in the rest of this verse, "But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." I know kids today, adolescents, sometimes even kids younger than that, don't like their parents speaking for them and telling them how they're going to be. You know what? The example in the scriptures, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that even before Abraham had children, that God had good confidence how Abraham was going to lead and direct and guide, control his children. Joshua was giving the same account here at the end of his life. Who knows how old his children are here? But you know what? He was able to make a bold statement. "As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. I can't tell you what my neighbors are going to do. I can't tell you what everybody in the church is going to do. I can tell my children, as long as they're under my household and under my authority, what they will do." I know our parents, even in church, don't like that. "No, I want my children to have more freedom than that." You know what? God's word's pretty specific about telling me to do some things and not do some. Moms and dads, you need to be just as strong, just as careful with your children in laying out some rules and some laws. And children, you need to be just as submissive and obedient as if God is saying that. That's how you're obedient unto your parents as unto the Lord, as we read about there in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. You know what? There are many things that the parents may tell you to do that you may not understand, that you may not respect, that you may not even be able to follow through in your own mind what the end is going to be. And I'm not going to tell you this morning that parents are all knowing and that we know the beginning from the end in all things. But you know what? Just by reason of experience and having been in your shoes before, where you're, when you're stepping tomorrow, you've never been, you need to listen to your parents when they give you instruction. That experience and nothing else is one of the reasons why God gave the, set them over you. And by reason of the truth of His Word, He intends, He expects children to obey and to honor, to respect their parents, because the protection that they give, the concern that parents provide for their children, the really, I guess, just the third reason for the authority of parents that God has placed over their children, and it almost may seem like a no-brainer, or at least it should, even though we don't think about it this way. Know that God has designed parents to give you a clear direction and wisdom in making decisions for life. As you're beginning to form those things and to give direction, well, familiar passage of Scripture in the book of Romans, chapter 8. In verse 28, Scripture says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and who are the called according to His purpose." Let me suggest to you, one of the all things that is in that passage of Scripture is the structure and the order of authority that God has placed us under. I don't know if my mom even remembers this. Diana probably will. You know what? When I married my wife, I conferred with and got counsel with my mother. I conferred with and got counsel. She was with even the planning beforehand, before I bought a ring and even said anything to Diana that week. You know what? Children should follow the direction and the counsel of parents and adults. That's why the book of Proverbs right there gave warning that they not despise and that they not reject, that they not be bitter against the direction, against the law of the mother and the father. Because you know what? That is God's order for the instruction given, that we might have the benefits and the blessing of God upon our life. Now, the problem with this verse of scripture that we have right here is that the way we look at it most commonly in our life, that every problem I get into, God is able to take care of and to get me out of. You know, the real way this verse of scripture is given to us in context and what harmonizes the rest of His Word, if you'll submit to and follow God's plan, you won't get into trouble. See if it doesn't read that way. We know that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord and who are called according to His purpose. God has already provided a structure for us that if we'll be careful, we don't have to worry about all the problems that are out there in the world. But you know what? It's usually the rebellion and the defiance and that I'm going to do this myself, and so I do it 2 or 3 or 4 times wrong before I get it right because I won't listen to anybody else. Friend, if you listen to God the first time, all things work together for good to them that love Him. You see, we change God's word too often. We want it to be, no, God's going to help all the problems I get myself into. God can and will do that by His grace, but that's not His intention. That's why He gives us His word and His instruction that we're to submit to. Let's go back to the book of Proverbs once again. Proverbs chapter 21. Sometimes by experience, I'll tell you, as an individual, as a pastor, as a parent, there are some problems we just have to live with all the rest of our life. God's grace may see us through, but you know what? We have to live with the scars and with the problems and with the hurt and with the baggage all the rest of our life because we simply won't submit to the authority and the way that God provides for us. Look at that verse of scripture again. I know I just turned from it. I'm sorry. I said Proverbs 21. We'll look there. Most of you are familiar with the promise. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and who are the... You know what, though? If you're walking in disregard of that, don't expect God to take care of you with that, the end of that verse in view. Because you're walking outside of God's will and His order. Now, Proverbs chapter 21. In verse 1. Bible says here that a king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water, and He turneth it whithersoever He will. Know that your parents are in His hand, and God wants you there in that way also. God is not going to dictate and control and make you do what you want. You know what? Kids are good at stretching the boundaries and doing everything just to test and find out where and how they want to be and to sow their wild oats and to learn things on their own. I had to wonder sometimes if it's not just because people are too lazy to read God's Word, why they can't learn the lessons from other people. Why they can't listen to the experiences of other people afterwards. No, I've got to do it myself. You know what? That has caused more hurt and heartache and destroyed lives, just that defiance and rebellion, than is ever necessary. Now we're staying here in the book of Proverbs. Look with me in chapter 22 and verse 15. Here the Bible says, and makes just a very simple statement, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now, we put that in context with what we're talking about this morning. Parents, your children are going to be stubborn. They're going to be foolish. Be smarter than them. Be stronger than they are. I know we want them to, we don't want to spoil their individuality and their creativity. We're going to bring out just all of them in here in the book of Proverbs, but there's a couple of them that I want you to look at and consider with me, if you would. Chapter 13 of the book of Proverbs, just as far as discipline goes. Chapter 13 and verse 24 says there, he that spareth the rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him, chasteneth him betimes. Now, I know sometimes we even have the attitude because of humanism, and you can argue it's other things if you want to. Before you ever argue that with me again, look up, because I'm going to ask you what the definition of this word betimes is, and ask you if you're doing it that way according to God's instruction. I don't think we understand that very well. Betimes. Beforehand is what it means. Early. We usually do it late, after there's nothing else to do. You know what? If you really want to spare your child the heartache himself and spare your own shame, discipline your children, be smarter than they are, watch out for them before they get in trouble, not afterwards. That's what the word betime right here means. You don't believe me? Go look it up yourself. If you can come back and correct me, I'll make a public statement in another week or two. I've already looked it up. This idea that we have of disciplining our children, you know what, is the reason why children are out of the home, usually on their own at 13 and 14 and getting in trouble at 16 and 17. The parents have to kick them out because they won't use the rod of correction as the Bible tells them to, the way God's designed it, because parents don't have the authority, won't take the authority that God has given them. But you know what, if they will, it'll save not only the children from a lot of shame and from a lot of problem and a lot of heartache and a lot of hurt, it'll save a lot of conflict in the home. It'll save a lot of conflict and error and problem that we like to get ourselves into, but we don't want to admit, either because we're ashamed because we failed the children, or because we don't want to fess up to and deal with the problems that they have gotten themselves into now. Let's look at that verse of Scripture again in chapter 22 and verse 15. Where we were just a minute ago. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. How do we take that foolishness and give it its proper guidance and its proper instruction? The rod of correction is what drives that foolishness away. The rod of correction that the Bible says will save them from hell, will save them from death, is the reason why the Bible says it will give them long life if they obey their children. Because God works through those who are in authority over us. Remember chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1, and look in verse 2 also. God has set that up for our good. That is part of the good that Romans 8:28 talks about to each individual at a very young age. If we will heed that and take care of it. I get tired sometimes as a pastor watching kids that grow up in our work that sometimes are just too ashamed and too broken to be church members when they're older because they haven't had the right discipline and the right guidance applied, or they haven't followed it because they've been disobedient and disrespectful to their parents. You know what? It doesn't have to be that way if we just listen to and follow God's instruction that He gives to us. 14th chapter of the book of Romans. Romans chapter 14, verse 11 and verse 12. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God, so that every one of us shall give account of himself to God. We like to think that, and especially if I can get out of the house early enough from underneath the authority of mom and dad, that I can be on my own and I don't have to be accountable to everybody, anybody. But let's just think about the reality of that statement. Those who do, at a young age and rebel against mom and dad, what does it usually end up for them? They get in trouble with the law, and or sometimes it's a hyphenated extension of that. They get sent into the military where now they've got much greater authority and discipline instilled in their lives than they had when they were at home. And if they get in trouble with the law, then they've got to deal with that hanging over them. Just because they wouldn't follow God's rule and God's order. Many women don't like the authority of mom and dad, and so they'll get out and they'll marry somebody displeasing mom and dad. Be careful of that also. Because even in the Scriptures, one of the things that seems very evident, if you haven't looked at it or noticed, maybe it's something that we don't bring out often enough. The Bible tells us that Jacob had... Jacob? Nope. big a father was. Isaac had two children, and the one of them specifically it states that his parents were displeased with, or know that he disregarded, I don't remember how it's worded, disrespected his parents by going and choosing daughters of the land that he knew mom and dad didn't approve of. And what did the other one do? He followed his father's instruction, went back and found a wife that did meet mom and dad's approval. And you know what? That individual, Jacob, is the very one that God used in his household and in his children to build the nation of Israel, even though it was generations after that time, wasn't it? You know what? The response and the communication that we have as children with our parents, even when it comes time to choosing a mate, or it comes time to choosing a lifelong direction that we go into. You know what? God has designed it that your parents can and should be giving you godly direction, and that you need to respect and honor and follow that. In a biblical way, that's how God has set it up and designed it. You don't like their authority? Well, you know what? If you won't submit to that, you normally go right from the frying pan into a fire, because then you get yourself into another authority that's even harder. Without learning how to be an individual and sometimes an adolescent, girls will just go out and learn how they've got to be a parent before they're barely out of childhood themselves. And kids will go out and make bills and put themselves under the authority and the responsibility of other lords over them because they didn't like the responsibility and the authority that they had among their parents that God said that they would be obedient to, that they were to be accountable to. You know what? We're all going to be accountable to a higher power over us. And we don't get out of that. Through all of our lives, we don't get out of that. God has an order and wants us to follow that. The better we follow it, the easier life is going to be in the manner and the instruction that God has given it unto us. In Proverbs, once again, just a couple of other passages there this morning. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." Kids who usually run from the authority of the home, you know what? They find themselves in trouble within a very short time period after that, that many times even mom and dad can't help much with. 20th chapter of the same book of Proverbs. Chapter 20 and verse 20. "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Well, I don't want the pressure. I don't want the confinement. So what does it do? When they leave that, they go out, and if their life isn't taken from them, their freedom usually is. And I think probably even life, as the Bible speaks about that as the proper end, that's why the promise given in the commandments and then stated again in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1 and 2 is long life. But one of the things the book of Proverbs speaks of that we don't give a whole lot of attention to because it's just a negative of the same thing is their dying, or the ravens plucking out their eyes, or their lamp going out, just like we read about in this verse of scripture right here. Because you know what? There is a direct correlation about how we deal with authority in our lives, even with how our relationship with God in heaven is, whether we want to admit it or not. We can deny it, and we can tell others that it's not that way and put on a good face. But you know what? God's already described all that to us because He knows better. He's the one that made us. He's given us the design. And if we forsake and neglect and defy that, then really all we're doing is destroying ourselves. There, in the 20th chapter, our light going out, because we really are going to use all the resources that we have, and there's going to be nothing left. Usually ending up in a shortened life. Third chapter of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 3. Verse 1 is that, "My son, forget not my law, Let thine heart keep my commandment, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. That is just a consistent theme communicated throughout Scripture. Drop down with me to verse 7 and verse 8. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We've already read in Proverbs how children are to keep the law and the instruction of their father and their mother. Verse 8 continues and says that it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. You see, for personal peace of mind and tranquility, it's just destroyed by our own disobedience too often and the decisions that we make. Young people are likely never learn how to get along in society if they don't learn it at home first. If you don't learn to live within authority and within means there, it's always going to be, your life is always going to be filled with just constant conflicts because of the negatives, the blessings or the cursings that God gives. You know what? It starts at a very young age with the admonishments that the Bible gives to children. One or two last things. You're generally going to treat others the same way that you will treat your parents. That's why the Bible says that we're to honor and subject ourselves to them. Guys, let me give you just a little bit of a hint of indication. Your girls are almost always going to treat your husbands the same way that they've treated their fathers at home. I know they don't think so, but you know what? If they do things behind their back and hide that, you know what? They're probably not going to be very honest and truthful with you either. That's just the character and the nature that they built in and developed. And women, if the guy you're going after and thinking about marrying has proven to be rebellious at home and not able to be disciplined in himself or to keep discipline and to keep a healthy relationship with mom and dad and with grandma and grandpa, you may get him and everything great as long as he's happy with you, but as soon as there's going to be any discontent, he's going to be just as flighty and he's going to be just as defiant and rebellious usually in that relationship and in that context because that's the only thing he knows and because what he has been trained in. No, we want the bad boy, we want the bad girl because of the excitement that's there. You know what? As soon as the excitement wears off, what it turns into is turmoil and destruction. That's why God places the responsibility that he has in the household. And especially if you respond negatively to the authority of your parents, very likely to respond negatively to that of your husband, your boss, your church, your police, your government, any other authority. And that's why the statement given in the book of Proverbs is, parents, you want to keep your children from hell and from death. You'll discipline and use the rod on them because that's what will save them. If you don't instill that early in their life, the ultimate destruction, the ultimate wages of sin is that second death because they never learn to submit and obey and come to the instruction and the wisdom of mom and dad. And when it comes time when the Holy Spirit's convicting and drawing them to the Holy Spirit of God, they reject and they rebel against that also. I don't know if there's a sadder end and a sadder statement that's given in the Word of God. But you know what? People never outgrow their need for authority. And parents, you need to realize this too. Fathers, enjoy your day, but know the responsibilities you have. And in the next months, the next years, if your children are younger, those that are, instill in them. You know what? It's okay to be their friend and to be liked by them. But more important than being their friend, you need to be their father. You need to watch out for them. And that means sometimes making decisions for them in things that aren't easy or aren't pleasant, but it is for their good and for their benefit. If you keep that in mind, the eternal and at least the long term, but the eternal value of all these things, then you can have and know the blessings of God in a full base. I think I read just one or two verses of the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Let me read another couple of verses in that, and then we'll stand and we'll have a word of or a verse of song this morning. Ephesians chapter 6, first four verses. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Now, you see, the other conflict, the thing that gets confused so often with this passage of Scripture right here, is that we think, we have the idea because of humanism and because of all the childhood rearing experts that if you discipline your children and tell them they can't, that they're going to be mad at you, and we equate that with the parents provoke not your children to wrath in this verse of Scripture right here. That's not at all what God's talking about. You know what's going to provoke them to wrath quicker than anything else? Is your neglect of not being the authority and not setting the bounds right that they know they need inherently, because that's how God has made them. Mm-hmm. When that's what's forsaken, that's when the children have bitterness and defiance, not only against parents, but against everything else in society also. Sometimes that's parents' fault for not following as God has told them to do and taking the roles that God has provided for us. We're going to stand, we're going to have a verse of song, but I want you to know and just consider at this point before we finish completely this morning. When Jesus taught the disciples to pray, he taught them to address him as our Father, which art in heaven. God is the highest example of the one who is in authority over us and watches over and gives protection to us. But in the same way that we talked about this morning, about a third of the way through this, God isn't going to force his way on us. Lost person, if you don't want to be saved, God's not going to make you repent. Saved child of God, he won't even let you go your way as the prodigal. He'll make your life miserable and take things from you. Just like what that story is given. What happened to that individual there in Luke chapter 15? That you know what? Our Father in heaven is waiting with open arms for everyone that will come to him. Just as that story of, you know, I think sometimes that's as much a story of the Father who's waiting as it is the prodigal son that we always refer to it as. That story of God waiting with open arms and grace and mercy is a story of his unending love that most fathers have. But I'm thankful of the God in heaven has the resources and has those things that many fathers here in this life and in this world don't have. God the Father is able by grace and mercy to bring us back when we come to him in repentance and faith. You've wandered away and never come to God in repentance and faith. He's waiting for you with open arms for you to come this morning and find that mercy, find salvation, find reconciliation. So move to him, come to his arms of protection, of love, of mercy, of direction, wisdom. Then remember also the fool said in his heart that there is no God. You can go your own way. But that's just going to bring hurt and destruction and heartache when you do it that way. Let me look at that verse of song, please.
Turn 53.
Thank you.
our practice, and then we get services here at 5. You have an announcement or something, John?
Yes. Obviously, on behalf of the youth group, would like to, again, wish all the blessed Happy Father's Day to the youth group. One, is a formal invitation. We're going to have our annual Father's Day ice cream social again after evening services tonight. So I'd like to ask all the fathers to plan on being for that. We'll have ice cream on some toppings with that. And also, at the right after prayer, if I could ask Anna and Seth to join me, we've got some gifts for the Fathers and Father's Day also. So Anna and Seth, right after prayer, we'll give some fathers their annual Father's Day gifts and appreciation to all of them today.
All right. Sounds good. Any other announcements or anything anybody has this week? Not, but Travis, if you would, please dismiss us.
Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, Lord, for allowing us to come into your house, praise your name, Lord, and worship you. We thank you for your scriptures this morning, Lord, and please help us to continue to learn from them, Lord, and as we as always emphasize the study of your entire word, Lord. It's good to read the Old Testament, Lord, especially Psalms and Proverbs, Lord, and Ecclesiastes and Solomon, Lord. Those books are still good for us today, Lord, still apply to your New Testament law today, Lord. And please help us to take heed to what we heard today. As fathers, as mothers, as parents, Lord, help us to be good parents to our children, Lord, to lead them to your, to you, Lord, Heavenly Father, especially to your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord, that when it comes time for them to, when they're getting convicted from you, Lord, and you're drawing them through that gospel, Lord, that they might take heed to that, and you might help us to teach them while they're little to be obedient to the gospel, Lord, and obedient to those above them, Lord. And please help us as parents or even adults, Lord, to be continually obedient to you and your word, and to always remember that it doesn't matter who we think we are, Lord. The Bible says that you're not a respecter of persons, Lord. We should be faithful no matter what, Lord. And we should be following after what your word teaches us to do, and living a life of example, Lord, for others, and not just to live a life for others, Lord, but to live a life to be acceptable in your eyes, Lord, so that all we can do in this life will be to honor and praise you. And again, Lord, that we might look forward to that eternity forever with you, where we're praising you and just existing forever for you, Heavenly Father. And thank you for that opportunity and privilege, Lord. We pray that you might be with your gospel, Lord, that you might help us to spread it. Especially the VBS coming up, Lord, help us to spread it to the children and the families that might be coming. Vacation Bible study, Lord, that your gospel might touch more hearts, Lord. Thank you again for this day. Please bless the refreshments later.
Amen.
Thanks, sweetheart.